This is Sounding Board Parenting, creating healthier human connections through the commonality of parenting, exploring the world of parenting with high-performing mums and dads from a range of backgrounds, industries, and family dynamics.
He said, the whole world looks different.
You can do it your way.
My life has been fundamentally altered by their existence.
I gotta tell you, kids don't stop learning.
That is how I change the story.
Babies are instant community generators.
My growth curve just like shot up after I had a kid.
I wasn't planning any of it.
Let's jump in 3, 2, 1.
It is awesome to have you all back here at the Sounding Board Parenting Podcast. And this week we have our first ever 3-time Sounding Board Parenting Podcast guest, Jessica Turlick. She is back to chat to us all things parenting. We're really looking forward to diving deeper into what we've already sort of started to touch on around the parent and child relationship when it comes to education, the parent-teacher relationship. There's a few different things I'd love to get your thoughts on. So Jessica, welcome back.
Thank you, Sean. Yes, 3 times. Woohoo!
How cool is that? How cool is that? The first 3-timer. I'm sure it won't be the last time as well. I have a feeling we'll keep chatting from here on out. But just before we take that deep dive into some of those different topics, how are you? What has changed for you since the last time that we talked?
Wow. Well, yes, I'm going extremely well. And I suppose in a way, not much has changed since we've last spoken because of really embracing this really like slow and being in the moment life. And so, I think if anything, I'm just feeling more love in our family unit and in our household at the moment. And for myself, a lot calmer as a mom and then as a woman and as a person, individual, everything. So, yeah.
That is awesome. That's really cool to hear. I'm really glad to hear that. And I'm not sure if you've noticed, but halfway through our episodes, we always throw in a reflection exercise for our guests. And I'd love to do that with yourself right now, if you're open to it. So
let's do it.
It basically involves 3 questions for those out there that aren't aware of the exercise yet. And the first question is, describe one moment to me from the last week that you were proud of yourself as a parent?
Oh, well, actually it has to be yesterday.
What happened yesterday? Tell me.
So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I teach. So Thursday is my day that I have with Rob. And it's also my day where I get to really dive deep into my own business and have my creative outlet. And yesterday I sort of woke up and I've been doing part of my morning routine before the kids wake up is to set my alarm half an hour earlier than what I need to be out of bed for. So then I can really tune in with myself to see like, what do I need from myself today? How can I make sure that I don't push that autopilot button and just go, 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 go and get everything done? Especially what it's like, you know, what it's like when you have that day and you're not working as such and you want to just get a million and one things done. So I was like, okay, so how do I want to start the day? And I really wanted to just be slow and play and just have fun. And we are super lucky that the weather is beautiful at the moment. So I really wanted to make sure we got outside. But then also I wanted to make sure I had some pockets of time to be creative and get some like things done that I wanted to get done in the business. So I decided we're going to do a science experiment morning. So we did the school drop off. We dropped Ava off at school and then Rob and I went to the shops and we actually had a breakfast date. So we had a breakfast out at the cafe and then we went to Coles and we bought vinegar, bicarb soda, a packet of Skittles, 2 bottles of Diet Coke, a packet of Mentos, and then we first I'll just share a little bit of funny thing about that is I'm at the checkout and I don't know, I get a bit self-conscious about what I'm putting in my trolley and I'm sure the checkout person is not concerned whatsoever, but I'm a bit like, oh my goodness, what am I feeding my children? And I suppose this is one of the proud moments. So I'm pushing Rob through, he's in the trolley. And I don't say anything. I'm just saying, you know, how are you? How's your day going? And so on, or how's your morning so far? And Rob says to the lady, oh, we're doing science experiments this morning. And one, I was so proud because he actually verbalized and was in part of the conversation with the lady at the checkout. But two, because he was saving myself like from my, oh my goodness, what's this lady going to think? I'm buying like soda and I'm buying Mentos and Skittles. And look, by all means, there's nothing wrong with buying those things. But just for me, I just get awe. And so then we obviously got home and then I said to Rob, okay, so what do we want to do? And then I suppose that little bit of teacher comes out in me, but it is quite easy to do where you just ask your child, what do you think is going to happen? Like creating that prediction. And we started off with the Skittles, with when you pour the warm water over it. So you line the Skittles up at the outside of the plate. Are you familiar with this one?
I'm not. I'm interested now.
Oscar will love it. So you line the Skittles up around the center of the plate and then you get some warm water. So it's not completely boiled, just warm. And when you pour it in the middle, what actually happens is this little vortex, I suppose, forms with the water, and the water gets all the coloring of the outside of the Skittles. So it makes like a rainbow in the middle.
That sounds epic. That sounds so cool.
Super simple. So then you just like in conversation, just seeing what Rob's, you know, like I'm really holding back on saying to him what's actually happening, because it really doesn't matter what exactly is happening. It's what's happening for him in his eyes, right? So he was all right with it. He wasn't thrilled. Like he was like, oh yeah, cool. It's very colorful. He wanted to try the Skittles beforehand. And then obviously in science experiments, we don't exactly try some. So we had like a separate bowl to say these are not the ones that we're experimenting with. So you can try these ones. So he wanted to try the flavors and tastes and so on. And then I said to him, okay, well, what we'll do is, because he was more interested in the flavor and the taste rather than what he saw. So I said, okay, well, let's pull one out of the one that we're not testing and cover it in the warm water and then you can taste that. And then he noticed that the coloring was no longer on there, so it was white. And so we had a lot of beautiful conversation about that. And I said, well, does it taste different? So then he ate and he goes, no, it tastes the same. And then there was a part of me going, yes, because there's so many colors on the outside and that's going to affect you. But I didn't get into that.
That probably wouldn't have registered at this point. No, would
it? It's really not relevant either. I can build on that later. So then we went outside to do the diet cola with the Mentos. And just that was just a gorgeous moment because he just dropped the Mentos in there and I had given him five because the idea is you want to load it up as much as you can. But he dropped the first one in there and it just fizzled a little bit and he's just doing the happy dance, like just like, oh my goodness, what's happening? I was like, put more in. So there was that intense moment. And then the bicarb and vinegar, that simple one, you know, you normally we do it with the volcano, the paper mache volcano, and you pour it in there. And I said to him, what would be really good for this? And he goes, oh, he wanted to use his toy Adji. So he filled up the back of his Adji with his bicarb and then he got to pour the vinegar in there and he just, yeah, it was just ultimate. And then, of course, we did the clean up afterwards, but he knew that he had to clean up. So he's got the hose and he's hosing everything in. He's talking about how the diet cola, we don't want it to kill daddy's lawn. The Adji, I want to use that again. So we need to make sure that's clean and so on. So, yeah, that was a happy moment.
That sounds like an epic morning, an epic day, an epic moment. I can see why you're so proud of that. I bet he'll be talking about that for a while. It won't be long and he'll be forcing you back to the shops to do some more experiments.
Yeah. And so coming back to that reflection side of it, because I do similar things, not as often as probably what I'd like, but then also that makes me reflect upon that you don't necessarily have to be doing this every week or every day or, you know, like because we put it on ourselves that, oh, you know, am I doing enough? Am I doing enough? It's certain times where when you do have that time and you do create that opportunity and that space and then to realize that you don't want to be doing that all the time, because if we saturate that and do that all the time, then that novelty and that excitement's lost in it as well. So, yeah, I just wanted to add that on as a little bit of a reflection side to it.
That's awesome that you sort of got to that point though in your thoughts around, yeah, at the end of the day, when it can happen, it can happen and make the most of it. And at the end of the day, that's all that matter. And
yeah,
I feel like that works in really well with it's coming through loud and clear about your emphasis and focus on just being in the present, whether it's with yourself or with your family. Just being able to be in the moment. Like, for example, right now we're chatting just before you go into an epic workshop that you're going to run, and then just being able to flow from that sort of moment to moment is really cool. It's something I definitely admire. And I suppose flowing on from that, the second question within this reflection exercise is basically, what is one area of your parenting from the last week that you would like to make some progress on or improve in the next week that's coming up for us?
So one of the big things like that means a lot to me is making sure that the kids have this beautiful bedtime routine, right? So at nighttime, they are given the skills and the strategies to wind them, their little brains down, so then they're able to have a peaceful sleep. And for some reason, well, no, I know why it happens. Monday and Tuesday is beautiful. And then by the time we get to Wednesday, it's just that extra energy push for, oh, do we want to continue that on, or can we just make it a little bit easier? So, for example, on Monday night, so one of my key things, my personal goals at the moment, is to reduce my TV time. Now, that's only because I like to sit down and like chill out, and TV seems to be one of those things. However, I think that's a seasonal thing in the sense of like winter, I tend to watch a lot more TV. Now we're getting into better weather. There's other things to do. We don't have to sit down and just, you know, I just think the seasons are changing. So therefore the evening activities can change as such. So Monday afternoon and then into the evening, so we've had dinner, we've all tidied up and so on, and Ava brought out a card, like a packet of cards, and I said, beautiful, because I wanted to do something that we could all be together and do before we go to bed, right? So we did the cards, and then we're able to do the brush the teeth, and then do the bedtime stories, and then we put on relaxing music before they go to sleep, and then when if they're having a bit of trouble, we just keep it going. So, and I was like, that's exactly what I want to do. I want to have these quiet activities that we do that leads into it. And we can have a bit of a conversation when we're doing it, just in case there's things that they want to process before they talk, before they go to bed. Because, you know, that classic, when they go to sleep, they're like, oh, I'm thirsty. Oh, I need to go to the toilet. I'm still hungry. It's really because in their brains, they haven't unpacked the day. So they're trying to figure out excuses to be actually have a conversation with you, because they're hoping by doing the natural thing, which they do 10 times a day about going to the toilet and they're hungry and they're thirsty, that will lead to the next lot of questioning from you as such. So then they can actually verbalize what's going on in their brains. So if we can have a little activity beforehand to talk about those things, then that's going to alleviate that those excuses before they go to sleep. So that was a big win on the Monday. And then on Tuesday, we did a similar thing. We didn't play cards. We did colouring in instead. But then by the time we got to Wednesday, and I don't know if that's because I'd finished my work day, but it was just sort of like, okay, let's just sit down. And maybe because The Bachelor was on. But, so that is something definitely I want to keep working on, or at least keep thinking about, and, just deciding what's going to work best.
That is really cool, like creating that opportunity or that space for them to wind down. But also I feel like with the winding down, everyone from like child to adult, once you start to wind down, whether it's for some people it's having that shower at the end of the day or journaling for someone, or like you said, it just might be sitting in bed, or it might be that time in the lounge room together, no technology, for that 5 minutes before bed, just to be able to just unwind. And I feel like then it's easier for those thoughts to flow, those creative sort of thoughts that have been sort of hiding somewhere throughout the day, full of doing and routines and that sort of thing, what we sort of block them out. I seen some stat the other day, a lot, like on average we don't use 87% of our brains or something like that, and that come from Duncan Wardle, who's like the head of creativity and innovation at Disney, so like the guy knows what he's talking about when he's talking about creativity. And it's so true, isn't it? Like those little pockets of time can be absolutely golden in terms of just that nothing time, just to be able to let it flow.
Yeah, and it's kind of a shame that we actually have to create those pockets of time because of our lifestyles now. So, we want to make it become the new norm, don't we?
Totally. And I feel like, I feel like we're at a point in time where where there's some real awareness or a spike in awareness that it is actually possible to really shape that lifestyle. If you want more of that in there, it is actually more than possible. Yep. It's not as out of control as you think it might be. So it's a really exciting time, I think, in that way as well. And the third question for the reflection exercise, Jessica, is you mentioned it a couple of moments before, but tell me about a moment in the past week that both Ava and Rob made you smile.
They always make me smile. Okay, let me just think for a moment what would have been. Look, there's nothing specific with it, but what's been making me smile about them smiling as such as well, right, is this beautiful friendship that's starting. Yeah, okay, so there's a clear moment of it where, once again, you know, it's still a little bit chilly in the afternoon and that, and so they've just had their showers and everything, and they're, you know, they're sort of snuggling up, and just I love Bluey, so we put on an episode of Bluey right before we have dinner. And it's this cute friendship where they'll just have a little bit of a laugh with each other and so on, but then you every now and then when you go to peek, they're actually sitting there holding hands, or they're actually like they're touching, you know. And it's just beautiful thing where like you just know that they're creating this friendship, and they know that they're going to be there with each other. And it was actually one of those conversations I was having with Ben when, you know, when you're in bed and you're unpacking the day and talking to each other about the kids, right? That's always seems like the brainstorming time of what you want to be as a parent, isn't it?
Totally.
Because they're not listening. They don't know what the plan is.
The brain's trust.
Yeah. So on Monday night's conversation was leading into, I was saying to Ben about talking with you, I always come up with goals that I want to achieve with the kids in the school holidays. And so I was sort of brainstorming some ideas with Ben to see if he had any ideas. So of course I have some ideas, but I like to get his input as well. And I was saying to him, I just think it's really beautiful to see how their friendship is growing, because that's always been a big thing for me, especially having two brothers and a sister. We were always encouraged to have a good relationship, but that was because we were brothers and sisters, not because we were friends. And I think it's a lot more powerful, especially these days, that we establish really solid friendships, because I teach year 4-5, so they have a lot of dramas starting to pop up, especially towards the end of the school year as such. And it's all based on what is a good friend, or how they can be a good friend to others. And so I like to establish that with Ava and Rob, in the sense of friends come for a reason, a season, or a lifetime, right? But they are lifetime friends, because they're always going to be there with each other. So I'm hoping by instilling that in them before they get to the age of 8, that they know they're always going to be there for each other. And then I suppose there's going to come a time where I have to teach them that they're not always going to get along, but that doesn't mean that they're not friendship, like they're not friends because of it. And then that hopefully that will help them with their own friendships outside of our family unit as well. So they really made me smile, just bringing it back to that question. Like, yeah, on Monday afternoon, after they've had their showers and so on, and they're sitting there having a little bit of a chat, and then noticing that they were holding hands, or like they're touching really close with each other, and just really like that just warms your heart. So, yeah.
That's beautiful. That even makes that gives me a big smile just thinking about it. Just a brother and sister, or any siblings for that matter. But just on what you said there, I mean, I think that's awesome around sort of introducing them naturally or directly or informally, whatever you want to call it, to the dynamics of friendship as well. So early on, like it seems like it could have some real long-term benefits, like you said. I mean, before young Rob goes to school, obviously Ava's on that journey now. But yeah, I mean, it's such a big part of our lives. Like it feels like from start to finish, like friendships are such a big component of it, whether it's not having the friendships that we want or having these amazing friendships. Like it doesn't matter which way it is, like friendships form a big part of our lives one way or another. And even on the point you said there about there's going to be times where they're not on the same page and they're not liking each other.
Oh,
but
isn't that going to be fun? Yeah.
Exactly. But like the beautiful thing about that is I think like on the foundations that are potentially being created right now is a quote that comes up. And it was in a sporting and leadership sense from a coach to his players, but I see it as the same sometimes in family dynamics, in business, whatever it might be, and it's something like, I won't like you all the same, but I'll love you all the same.
Yeah.
And in terms of that like will go up and down throughout our lives with different relationships, friendships, parent-child relationships.
Oh, yeah.
But that love will always be there. Like it'll always be that cornerstone, that foundation of that relationship.
Yeah. Oh, that is beautiful. That's really links it all together really nicely.
Yeah. No, it's I think it's a beautiful concept. Definitely. And flowing on from that, I'm interested in our first couple of chats, we sort of touched on different things to do with this, but I'd love to dive further into, what are your beliefs about parenting in this moment, Jessica? Like in this moment of life, what are your beliefs when it comes to parenting?
Yeah. So in my beliefs about parenting is that it's not about us. That's a big one. And also they are on their own little journey as well. So our role as parents is to create the opportunities, the space, the environment for them to, and if I link it into what I've been talking about, for them to experiment and experience and to be curious about and to generate awareness around as well. So we can definitely have some control, is not really the word, but I can't think of anything else at the moment. We can have some say in the sense where we can direct and we can plan and we can put in place as such, but it's almost like we want to make it a wider container and then they can just do what they want to do in the middle. So my definite beliefs are about that. So the fact that it's not about us and it's more about them and their journey.
Time for a short reflection break. This is an opportunity for you to stop, take a breath, and reflect on your past week as a parent. If you have a pen and paper near you, that's great. If not, simply use your phone or laptop. I want you to write down three things. First, write down one moment in the past week that you were proud of yourself as a parent. Second, write down one area of your parenting that you would like to improve for the next week. Third, write down one moment from the past week where your child or children have made you smile. Be kind to yourself and enjoy the rest of the podcast. Have they changed for you over the years?
Yep, definitely. Definitely. So I didn't know in the beginning if it was just because I was a teacher, so I wanted to teach them, right? So I wanted to teach them all these things. And then all of a sudden I realized that just because I want to teach it doesn't mean like they want to learn it. So Ava, for example, was my first lesson. I wanted to teach her to be brave and to be confident and to be social and to be out there. And she couldn't be anywhere further away from all of that, right? So she's my beautiful quiet soul, to the point where obviously she comes to the school that I teach at and people just assume that she's going to be like me, and she really isn't in that sense, right? And then I would question, what have I done wrong? Oh my, like how could I muck this all up? You know, I've got experience, I've got understanding, I've got, you know, I've done all these things. What did I do wrong? And it wasn't until I did go through that reflection of, you know what, like, it's not necessarily what I've done wrong. It's what I'm like ignoring, what I'm not paying attention to. I'm not paying attention to Ava. I'm not paying attention to the little person she is. I'm controlling too much of what she's doing and experiencing and how I believe she should be and what she should be doing, like these expectations, right? And then because I'm going through my own personal development journey and I'm learning about all the boundaries and the expectations and things like that for myself and then releasing as such, And then here I am putting these in place for my beautiful little girl. So, that's definitely, that's how I started. And then, and it's going to continue. And you know what? You could probably ask me that same question of what my beliefs are with parenting in the next 6 months, and it probably could change again. And that's okay.
Totally. Nothing is fixed and permanent.
Yeah. Ever flowing.
Totally. It's amazing, like, and this is sort of going off tangent, but what you were saying there around what you're learning about, and I find this is really common, like I've experienced this a lot. When you're learning about something and immersing yourself into something, whether it's the personal development world or learning a certain skill or just brushing up on some knowledge in a certain area of life, and you're gaining all this knowledge, and yet sometimes there's such a difference between, yeah, being aware of that and then actually putting it into action in yourself. Like, and I've even found that recently. I've been really diving into the human behavior space, the organizational sort of behavior space, just really curious about all those sort of dynamics. And I've become really clear on, we get so focused in the workplace, in our homes, on the actions that people are showing, the behaviors that people are showing. And at the end of the day, what is underpinning those behaviors and actions is their thinking, is their attitude, because how we think is how we act. And so it sort of got me to a point of, okay, instead of just emphasizing or focusing on someone's action or behavior, whether it's something I don't like or do like, trying to take a step back and sort of start to look at, okay, what is the thinking that is driving that action? What is the thinking that's driving that behavior? But it's amazing, like, because I feel like you have that awareness of something. This is just one example in my case. But then I've caught myself in moments of still seeing Oscar do something or someone do something at work, and I'm like that rubs me up the wrong way, or we don't behave that way around here. And I feel like it takes some repetition, takes some conditioning or coaching the gap. But it's amazing that I feel like there's a real difference between simply being aware of something and then pairing it with action. I feel like there's some steps that take between that. But that was just a thought bubble that came out of nowhere.
No, that's beautiful, because can I also jump on the back of that thought bubble?
Yeah.
Because the thing that came to my mind was one of the classic things that we get taught at uni before we become teachers, and that's Vygotsky's theory, the zone of proximal development. So the way that I transform that, because I actually teach that to my students as well, is that we are a cupboard, right? We're an empty wardrobe cupboard, and we've got coat hangers as such. But at first, we don't even have the coat hangers. We just have the railing. And then we, you know, as soon as we're born, we start putting up the coat hangers, right? And then those coat hangers, they're not in any particular order. There could be some on the floor of your cupboard. They could be some that haven't, you know, they've fallen out when you've opened it, right? And then all of a sudden, some bigger concepts get added to our world, and we're adding on the clothing as such, and it's getting hung up, right? But once again, the clothing might not be placed on there nice and neatly, right? So there might be something falling off it. There might be something, it might be hanging from the coat hanger by one shoulder. The pants might have been on the floor because we didn't hang them properly. Once again, you might have been a little bit lazy, and then the clothes haven't even made it into the cupboard as such, the wardrobe. So when you're talking about the thinking and then the acting, it's also because linking to their prior knowledge, right? Or their prior experiences as such. So when you pick up, so say in kindergarten, they've put in a nice blouse, right? So this blouse is hung up on their coat hanger, but it's hanging off. It's not quite there. It might mean that when they get to year three, whatever that concept was, or however they can build on that concept, then all of a sudden they're able to hang the other side up, and then it's now sitting there, but it's still wide open. So then it might not be until maybe even year nine where the buttons are done up. So then that can sit there forever and stay on there. So, and then, you know, there's going to be moments in their life where they link it all and they actually go, my phone's just playing up on me. They can actually like use that blouse, like they can get it out of the cupboard and actually use it. And then there might be times where it gets slammed at the back and they forget that it's there. Because I know with children in particular, how often do you go, you know this, I've taught you this, or you know, you've experienced this. So yeah, I just think that's a really good metaphor just to put on
totally.
The side of it as well, linking it theory based, but yeah, just going off the back of your thinking bubble then. So yeah, or your thought bubble.
That's awesome. Do you have any thoughts at the moment or tips around how those buttons can be done up, or do you have any processes in place in terms of hanging those clothes up, not correctly, but in a really beneficial way? Like, what are your thoughts on that? Or is it just natural and it'll happen the way it's going to happen?
I suppose that links on to what I was saying with my beliefs as a parent as such as well. But going back on with what you taught, we were touching on, is the repetition, right? It's the repetition, but it's not that repetition in the same context, in the same space, doing the same thing. It's taking that concept and applying it in different areas, right? And so, like going back into the classroom, one of the really big things that I try to do, especially in the plenary, which is like that last 15 minutes of the lesson, connecting it to real world, right? Because it's all well and good doing it in the classroom, but what do you do when you leave the classroom? How are you going to transfer that? What is it relevant to? What can it be connected to? And really putting that thought process into it so then they can practice that concept elsewhere. So I wouldn't say it actually happens naturally. And it's definitely not something through osmosis. So it would be repetition in different contexts and applying it in different spaces. Yeah.
It's interesting. I want to take this conversation into the classroom in a moment, because I'm keen to get your thoughts on some things around education and especially the parent-teacher relationship. Before we do that, though, just sort of flowing on from what we've chatted about over the last 5 or so minutes, It sort of dawned on me as well that, okay, so like we've gone from, okay, we know the behavior, we know the action. And then let's say we take that step to sort of try and understand, well, we're never going to understand someone else 100% in terms of their thinking, because that is totally unique for every person. But we've dived into some thinking around, we've asked them some questions to get a better understanding of what they were thinking, what they were feeling in that moment that drove them to act like that, to behave like that. But then at the end of the day, people can then say, well, okay, we don't think that way around here, whether it's in the workplace or at home, whatever it might be. So I can say, Jessica, we don't think like that around here. Our values, that isn't like our values. And it can be the same in the home. However, I would challenge people on that and say it's easier to identify what you don't like and what you don't want. But at the end of the day, I feel like you can only really go to that place or say something like that if you are clear, if you have clarity on what you are sort of about, what you do want in your home as a family, in the workplace, out in the community. And once you were clear on the values, which at the end of the day is just our attitude, it's our habits of thinking that you do want, that you do want to strive for every single day. At the end of the day, once you know that, and then once you know where people, children, colleagues, whatever it might be, are in relation to that value system or whatever, then you can start to sort of coach the gap. And like you said, conditioning forms a part of that, space repetition, just being able to create different potential inputs that person can choose as well. But I think, yeah, that's a point that sort of just come up, was just getting clear on, okay, if you know what you don't want, get clear on what you do want in that sense, then try and further understand what or where they are at in relation to what you do want for the family or whatever it may be. And then just start to work with them, not directing them, not instructing them, to sort of get them to that point potentially where they are more aligned with that sort of values set, I suppose. That's...
Can I also jump in on that? Cause,
please.
And then I think also a big one with that is So once you've established those values and what you want it to look like and be, you become that. You make sure everything that you do is part of that as well. And that big leading by example, because yeah, we can coach and yes, we can coach that gap almost. But at the same time, sometimes when we lead by example, that's where the biggest learning happens, because especially with little people, they're watching us all the time. So I think that leading by example as well is always a good one.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. Like, being able to lead by example, being able to, work with them, especially as a parent child, like you're always working with them. You're always collaborating with them in terms of like their growth and development. Like, we're such a big part of it. And like you said, I think, that's a great point. Just leading by example as well. And I suppose leading on from that, let's head into the classroom now in terms of what you've seen over your time, and you've been in education for a long time now. What you've seen, and you touched on this towards the end of our last chat, but what's the biggest challenge that you see right now in the parent-teacher relationship, or just in that dynamic altogether with families and education, and obviously the big change that we've seen in the past several months, or the big, I suppose you call it, rocking the boat sort of moment that we're all experiencing, and we are still experiencing in some ways. What are you seeing from your professional, but also then your parent point of view in that space?
Yeah. So I truly believe every school context is different with this, because every school has a different way that they go about inviting the community in and being part of the community, as well as that parent and teacher relationship. In terms of where I come from, it's the communication, right? And making sure that communication line is open and it is safe and it is welcoming. And I think the biggest challenge, especially this year, has been the distance, because there obviously was a point in time where parents were not allowed on school grounds, that kids had to be dropped off. And, you know, that when there's something like that, you don't realise how much it creates this disconnected feeling. And so then looking at different modes of communication. So obviously technology always steps up in that place, but then seeing how you can take it that one step further. So in terms of parent and teacher relationship, I personally feel that there's a lot of work that has to be done in the sense of parents feeling comfortable in approaching the teacher. But then at the same time, I think there needs to be a lot of work done for teachers feeling comfortable when parents do approach them, rather than seeing it as a something against them, or it's something they've done wrong. Because especially for teachers, right, we take things personally, because we put so much heart and soul into our teaching and our classrooms and our students. So then it's very hard sometimes to, or even disconnect again from that feeling of, is this person having a personal attack on me, or is there something else? Can I take a step back here from the situation? So in terms of the audience that will be listening to our podcast today, our episode, it's more from parents being like starting to feel okay with that you are allowed to be part of your child's education, and you're allowed to find out what's going on, or you're allowed to ask the question that's on your mind. You can just even have informal catch-ups and touching base to see how your child is going. Like, you can be part of it, and don't be afraid of that, because it's also very good for your child to see that you're doing that, because they're like, oh, if mum and dad are like asking and seeing how I'm going, they must really care. So that just made me think as well, on the other side of it, is having that positive mindset with it, not going in and going, because little Johnny's naughty at home, he must be naughty at school, so I'm going to go in there going, oh, what's he done lately, is he doing the right thing? Not going in like that. You definitely don't want to model that in front of your child, and you don't want to put that impression on the teacher either. You want to go in going, oh, so what's been happening, how is everyone going, like, what's something exciting that's happened this week, or, you know, those sorts of questions are stepping outside of it. And I I also see so many memes going around about what questions you can ask your child other than how was your day at school, right?
Yeah.
So those questions can even be how you approach your teacher, your child's teacher, because you don't necessarily need to go, how is my child going? It could be things like, oh, what was something exciting that happened in the classroom this week? Or what's something you're looking forward to teaching next week? Like those sorts of questions are going to be less threatening, is not the word again, but you know, that sort of feeling about it. And it's going to generate a lot more of a positive conversation. And then you'll be able to see or gauge and know what's happening in the classroom without it being this direct all about your child and your child's behavior and your child's achievement as such. So yeah, bringing that back to it. So yeah, that would definitely be something I would like to encourage.
I love that. Like at the end of the day, yeah, I think that the art of questioning or the power in the art of questioning is so underestimated when it comes to building relationships. And that is one of those relationships, that parent-teacher relationship, which I think, yeah, I mean, any relationship, but that one as well can just be sort of, can really blossom through the art of questioning, like at the end of the day, not being so finite about it and just, like you said, asking those yes, no sort of closed questions, like just being able to really just take a moment to ask about life, ask about something that is outside of just their child. It just makes total sense to me. Like that's where, I mean, that's a big part of the podcast is just the joy in throwing those open, epic, powerful questions out there that can just open up a can of worms. Like we've sort of gone through a lot already just in the few episodes. The art of questioning is underestimated in a big way, even with our children too, like you said. What's your go-to right now? Like what are you enjoying in terms of questions with the kids, with Rob and Ava? Like what do you have a go-to right now that you're hitting every day that you find brings back some interesting things?
So we have the thing where it's like, what was your favorite thing today, what was your most challenging thing today, and what are you looking forward to tomorrow? We used to do it every night around the dinner table, but I said, once again, reflection, I was saying to Ben, and also this goes back to what I was saying at the start of this episode about the saturation of it, because then it became something like, oh, I don't know, and so on. So we left it for a little bit, and then Ava started every now and then just going, oh, what was your favorite thing today, Mummy? And so that's when you're like, oh, great. So let's do that every now and then. We'll just throw it out there. So what's your favorite thing that happened today? What was something that challenged you, or what did you find challenging? And then, the last one is what you're looking forward to. And then every now and then I would just throw out to Ava and Rob about what's something that's making you feel uncomfortable. Because I think, what I've been doing in my community is talking about stepping outside your comfort zone, because that's where the learning happens as well. So I want to be able to say to Ava and Rob, what makes you uncomfortable? So then in the hope that they will start being aware of what is uncomfortable and why am I feeling uncomfortable? And I'm not talking about protective behaviors with people. Like, you know, we want them to definitely have that awareness around like that person's in, you know, that's not feeling safe right now. So that's the protective behavior side of it. I'm meaning in terms of where have you put yourself in a position that you're not feeling 100% confident, that you're going to have to use all your skills to try and get you over the line and stepping outside your comfort zone so you know you're challenging yourself. So, so that's been my newest one that I've been throwing out. And you know what? They're still working out what it means, but I know it will eventually sort of just fall into place.
Totally. There's only one way they're going to work it out is by hearing it more often, aren't they?
Yep.
And I'm sure they'll come up with their own interpretations, but for that to happen in the first place, it needs to be asked, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
We're so quick. I mean, again, this is generalizing, but I was like this very early on with Oscar and still catch myself in these sort of, I call them finite bubbles, so quick to sort of assume or underestimate a child's ability. In terms of like, oh, like they won't understand that. They won't understand like being uncomfortable. Like, so I'm not going to ask that. Like, so they can't comprehend it. So that sort of drives that. That's the thinking, what we're talking about before. That's the thinking. So then it drives the behavior of not asking the question. Yeah. And I feel like it just closes off this whole potentially extraordinary pathway that could be sort of explored. But I catch myself in those moments sometimes, and at the end of the day, I mean, having these chats every week and the blogging and just what Sounding Board Parenting is about is definitely improving that. And that's just from a personal point of view. It's just really being able to sort of be more conscious in those moments. And at the end of the day, it's okay if they don't understand or interpret it the way that you think, that the way that you think it is, because they might have something completely different to offer, I suppose, in that sense. But
that's right.
Yeah, this has been an epic chat again, Jessica. I know you've got to head off to a workshop, so I just wanted to finish off with one more question. But before I let you go, you've been awesome with your time, and that question is: how would you like to be remembered as a parent?
Oh, always with a smile on my face. Always with a smile on my face. And I know it's not, like, I still want, obviously, to show that it's okay to be sad and it's okay to be angry and experience all those emotions. But I just, for my kids, like, even with Ava, when I ask, we don't necessarily go, what do you want to be when you grow up? I say, how do you want to feel when you grow up? And Ava will be like, happy. She wants to be happy, right? So to me, smiling shows that you're happy. That's just the automatic response and things like that. So if my children, Ava and Rob, grow up and they go, you know, someone asks them, what do you remember about your mum? I would love them to say she was always smiling.
That's really nice. Even just hearing that word smiling, it just makes you smile.
Isn't it?
You
so
can't,
contagious.
Yeah, you can't, yeah, sort of hide that, I don't think. This is... This has been awesome. I hope you've got some value from this as well, Jessica. And as you know, being a third timer now, we always finish off with time to plug off. So I know you mentioned the workshops that are picking up, there's some other stuff happening, or even anything else that you have seen. This is just that little moment to chat about what's happening. Yeah, totally.
So I actually have been working on lots of exciting projects this year, but I am about to release my stationery line, which is all for busy women and busy mums, right? Because we've got all these things that we need to coordinate and organise. And so it's a beautiful range where we've got to-do lists that link in with our energy cycle. We've got beautiful gratitude journals. Just your generic journal, but with some prompts in there, because a lot of women that I work with, they say, I've got a journal, but I don't know what to write. I have this book that's coming out that's like, help me. Because you know those moments, and I'm sure you would experience yourself when you walk in the door and you just go, I've got so much to do and I don't know where to start.
Just that overwhelm, totally.
So overwhelmed. And so then, yeah, I've got a few beautiful sort of questions in there, and then looking at what's triggering you and then releasing it, and then have my, which is what the workshop I'm presenting today is, effective organizational skills. So I've got my prioritizing strategy that's in there. So then you're able to write everything down, and then of course go on your way and start doing those things. So that would be something that I'd love to share and just say that, because I suppose I'm so excited. And as we always say, hopefully it will be out before the end of the year, but I am trusting in the process and knowing that it will be released when it needs to be released. So
that is awesome. Celebrate it. I just want to acknowledge you for that as well. I think that is epic, and what you're doing is something I really admire personally, and I think that the more people like you that we have in our community, Jessica, we're definitely moving in the in a positive direction. So thank you again for your time on the podcast, and you know I'll be in contact very soon about a fourth chat. These just keep flowing on. I've literally got like so many more questions that have just come up just throughout our chat. So I really enjoy these conversations, and I just want to send well wishes to Ben, Rob and Ava as well, and wish you guys all the best.
Thank you so much. And thank you for having me once again. And like I said, before we even hit the record, it's really nice to feel nervous before speaking with someone because you never know what's going to come up. So thank you very much for creating that space.
This has been awesome. Thanks, Jessica.
Thank you for listening. Let us know if anything stood out for you during the chat. As the new pod on the block, it would be awesome if you look out for us and share this episode with someone that you think may be interested. While you're at it, why not head to our socials and share some love with a like, follow, or comment? Keep an eye out for the next pod drop. Big thanks to Stilo Media for producing this piece of art we call Sounding Board Parenting. From our hearts to yours, we hope you're making progress on something that you love and makes you feel alive. Remember, this can go anywhere.